Time to talk some U.S. Open. We're fortunate to have one of the best in the business. For those of you who listen to CBS Sports Radio, she's become synonymous with major golf. Her career is so much more. First woman to host her own show on America's flagship all-sports station, WFAN. Follow her on Twitter, at Ann Liguori. Pleasure to welcome in Ann Liguori. Thanks so much for the time. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, I want to begin with a general question, because somebody who's so wired into the game as you, we often talk about the event players cherish most. When I was growing up, when my buddies and I were on the practice green, it was for the Masters. I've heard Jack Nicklaus talk about the pride in our Open. Do you think there's a more cherished title among the current players, or is it more a mix between maybe both Opens and Augusta National?
Wow, that's a good question. I just think, you know, the Masters, everybody just thinks that's probably the most prestigious title one could win. But, hey, the U.S. Open winning your own country's championship is just also so important. So it just really depends on the person. I just think, you know, they're so two different, you know, entities as well. Obviously, you know, the players get to know Augusta National and, you know, can play the same venue for the Masters every year. And then the U.S. Open, you know, every year is at a different venue. So, you know, I think to win a U.S. Open with all the challenges, as we've seen this past weekend at Shinnecock, with the wind and the varying conditions and the high rough, they really... The USGA says it's the ultimate test, and it really is. So I just think, you know, it's just such a hard championship to win. Not that the Masters isn't, but
right.
Both are very prestigious in their own right, but it just depends who you talk to as to, you know, which one is the most important, I guess.
You know, as a fan of the game and an analyst, you see these guys up close and personal, and we know, you know, they win at 18 under, 20 under, and we knew historically Shinnecock has barely surrendered to par. But, Anna, I'm a weekend hacker. Was it wrong that I took some joy in seeing the best players on the planet get humbled a bit?
Well, I mean, I don't think they were humbled. I think they were completely tormented. I don't think anybody, obviously, including the USGA, expected, you know, to see such high scores on the first day. You know, you cannot predict the winds on the east end of Long Island. It's hard to predict the weather on the east end of Long Island. You know, it can be, you know, you get the forecast and it could be sunny and windy in one village, and then, you know, 2 minutes down the road, it could be a completely different story. So even though they had all, you know, this new technology, and as they were raving about, you know, earlier in the week, you know, it's just there's just so much you can control, and you cannot control the weather and Mother Nature. So I think they were dealing with that, certainly, you know, all 4 days of the championship. And then, you know, but boy, to have so many stars just completely, you know, blow up score-wise on the very first day, I'm sure they did not mean for that to happen, nor is it ever good, you know, to have so many of these guys not make the cut. So, you know, it's just one of those things. You just never know what the weather's going to bring you. You can predict how you can, you know, you should, for Saturday, they should have obviously not set the whole locations as severe as they were, because you know, even the forecast that I got was called for higher winds in the afternoon, near 20-mile-hour wind, and the USGA said that they didn't see, you know, the high winds coming. Well, you know, they should have obviously known that, and I just think the whole locations were too severe, and you know, they definitely should have watered the course, you know, more before the round started.
You know, obviously, and a big story Saturday was Phil Mickelson committed that two-stroke violation, gets a 10 on number 13. Then, naturally, we saw the tapes of John Daly at Pinehurst in 99, and we've seen reaction. But from who you've spoken to, your colleagues, players, and, of course, through your lens, is that just a bad moment, bad etiquette? What's your takeaway from that?
Personally, I think it's a disgrace. I like Phil a lot, but I think he lost it. I think he was, you know, completely frustrated. He wasn't contending. A lot of people want to give him a pass because he was not anywhere near contention, but you can't do that as a professional golfer. You know, you don't want to see a weekend hacker do that. Who wants to play with somebody who's going to run after a putt and hit the putt while it's moving? You know, not even a weekend hacker would do that.
No, it's brutal.
So to have a professional and a personality like Phil Mickelson do that in a major championship, I just think it's an utter disgrace, and I think that anybody who's trying to give him a pass and find it funny, you know, he's obviously spinning it to make it look like it was funny, but believe me, he admitted it was not one of his finest moments, and if he had to do it all over again, I think he would not have done it. I just think he basically spun it to the best he could so that he would suffer the least amount of damage, you know, from a publicity standpoint. Plus, he's Phil Mickelson, and, you know, he's very popular, particularly here in New York. And the USGA, they wanted him to play on Sunday. They weren't going to disqualify him. I mean, if you saw Fox coverage on Sunday morning, it was the Ricky Fowler, Phil Mickelson show. They played together, and they went out early. If they don't have Phil in the championship, the ratings definitely suffer. So, you know, obviously Tiger didn't make the cut. So, all of it is done for a reason, but unfortunately, you know, I think he should have been DQ'd.
Yeah, I think as time passes, you are not alone. As we continue with Ann Liguori, a year ago at Erin Hills in Wisconsin, Brooks Koepka wins his first major. He was sixth at the British. He's eighth in the world. And coming into this tournament, like you mentioned, we heard about Tiger and Fowler and Day and Thomas. And, of course, everybody follows Phil and DJ. Would it be accurate to say that perhaps the defending champ, such a great player, was a little bit under the radar coming in?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he even admitted that in his press conference. But keep in mind, he's had, you know, wrist issues. And he was out for about 4 months. He's, you know, just sitting on the sofa. He had to wear some kind of cast on his wrist. The fact that he could come back and, you know, repeat as a U.S. Open champion and, you know, he missed half the season, you know, leading up to this point is just remarkable. He says that, you know, he can do that. He says, you know, he's been playing his whole life. It's just a matter of just coming back and playing for a week here and a week there, and he's good, which is even more remarkable. Of course, he works out every morning. He's very devoted to being the best, you know, one of the best players in the game. So, but yeah, I mean, I do think very few people were picking him because, A, he was just, you know, not around because he was nursing this wrist injury.
I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the subject of Eldrick Tont Woods. We know he missed the cut, and it's insane to think it's been a decade since he was the Open win at Torrey Pines. So at 42, with what he's been through physically, we've seen flashes. Is it realistic we see him a regular contender in majors, or is it more logical that he'll just have moments at courses that suit him, maybe like Augusta or Pebble Beach?
Yeah, I think the latter is the case, Steve. Look, everybody wants to see Tiger play well. Obviously, he'll never be the Tiger of old. We don't expect that. We do want him to have good rounds. I'd love to see him put four really great rounds together, but I just don't think, you know, I mean, it may happen. He could win a PGA Tour event. Will he win a major championship? One more? You know, good question. Look, a year ago, he didn't even think he was coming back. Even as recent as the President's Cup, he had said in the press President's Cup at the press conference in New Jersey, he said, you know, he didn't know what his future held. He didn't know if he'd ever play golf again. And then a couple months after that, he got the all clear from his doctor, and he hasn't had, you know, he hasn't really had pain, at least pain that hasn't said he's had pain since he came back in December with his own event down in the Bahamas. So that's a huge factor for Tiger at this point after four back procedures, the fact that he's playing without pain. I hope that's still the case after this past U.S. Open for the 2 days he played at Shinnecock. But will he, you know, get out, you know, will we see him contend in majors and I don't think so. I'd like him to surprise us and do that, because I'd love him to do well. We'll see moments of brilliance. We'll see shots from Tiger of old. But to put it all together is so difficult on a day-to-day basis. So we shall see. But I'm not too optimistic in that department.
Now, that's been kind of my take. A couple final thoughts for Ann LaGoria, CBS Sports Radio. So in that final round with what Tommy Fleetwood did, go 63, two over, one behind Koepka, and on 14, the eventual champ is in the right rough with no shot at hitting the par four in regulation. At that point, are you thinking, man, that Shinnecock Hills clubhouse looks like a pretty good place to be right now?
I think everybody did. But look, Brooks just looked really good all weekend long. I mean, he was focused. What I like about him is afterwards in the press conference, and I wrote about this in my column on WFAN.com, if you have a chance to read that today. He doesn't complain. He doesn't get into, what a lot of the other players were saying about, the course losing the greens, so it's too difficult, for the U.S. Open setup, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not saying they weren't right, but, you can't get caught up in all that. And what you'll see from Brooks Koepka is somebody who, he's quiet, he's focused. He just wants to do what he has to do to win. And I think he set a really good example for a lot of the other players, by what he said and by how he went about his business this weekend. So, Tommy Fleetwood is an incredible player. I remember, watching him last year at the U.S. Open at Green Hills and being incredibly impressed by him. In fact, I think I picked him to win the Masters this year. I have people, a lot of friends who picked him to win the U.S. Open. I did not this time around. But he will win a major. That guy, he's, 27 years old? He's just too good not to win maybe a couple majors. So we'll see that. But I'm happy for Brooks Koepka, and good thing that he had that two-shot cushion right as he went through the 17th hole.
Lastly, kind of more personal, I'm from North Jersey, born and raised. I was talking with a buddy of mine yesterday. We're 57 years old. I said I was having you on, and he said, tell her she always sounds like she's sharing how much fun she's having. And how important is it to you that people listen to you, follow you, get that you have an appreciation for what you do?
Well, look, life is short. I cherish every moment. I'm very happy at, the path I chose. And, it's a lot of hard work, as you know, but we love what we do. So we're trying, I just project that in, I guess, my day-to-day life. Yes, we have our ups and downs. Everybody does. But just keep smiling and enjoy the ride, because life is short. And I'm very blessed to be in a position to do what I do. I love this life. I love my career. I'm very fortunate. Yes, I've created a lot of it. I've had to create my own opportunities throughout the journey, being a woman in sports.
Sure.
At a time in the 80s when that was very difficult. But it worked out, and I have a passion for what I do, and I'd like to share that with people that I talk to, I guess.
Well, you always sound like you're having a ball. That's one of the reasons I got in touch with you, folks. She's Ann LaGoria. I guess she'll be St. Louis bound for the PGA Championship. As a longtime admirer of your top-notch work, I want to really express my appreciation for your time and you being so gracious. So be well, travel safe, and thanks so much for joining us, Ann.
My pleasure. Very great job, and anytime you want me to come on, I'd love to.
All right. Appreciate it. Ann LaGoria for the... Ann LaGoria for fellow golf fans. She's become synonymous with the game. Real good stuff there. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Plenty more comes your way. 95.3 The Score.